families like that. I certainly would like to have the names of those families, because I'll personally do it. I won't go into the treasury, but I will personally see to it that there are 100 families that will not have to worry about food for Christmas. I'll do that myself. But what I'm asking, and let me just say while I'm...
Oh, he's a wonder in my...
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
We come, Lord, before that throne of mercy, God, recognizing that you are God, you are our heavenly Father, Lord, you're our King, you're our baby that was born in Bethlehem, oh God, but now, Lord, you are seated at the right hand of the Father, hallelujah, making intercession on our behalf. Thank you so much, oh God. We thank you, Lord, now that we can go boldly into the throne room of mercy, where we can find grace in time of trouble. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you meet and provide all of our needs, oh God, that there is no one like unto thee, oh God. We thank you, my Father. Oh, Lord, you have been so good to us, Father God. If we had all the tongues in the world, God, it wouldn't be enough to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, oh God, to thank you, Lord, for your divine grace, oh God, that have brought us thus far, Father. We appreciate you, Lord God, and we want you to know, Lord, that you are Lord of our lives. We bless you, Father, for this day and this opportunity, God, to come before your people, God. And, Father, we ask that you would just be glorified in everything, God. We want you to get the glory, oh, Heavenly Father. Father, remove them from looking at me that they may see you, God, and give you the glory, Father. You said to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works, but give you, the Father, the glory, God. Oh, Lord, we give you the glory. We lift you up, God, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives and that you continue to do in our lives. We ask your blessing upon this congregation, oh God. We pray, Father, that you will bless every home represented here today, Lord. And Father God, that when we leave this place, God, we will take the message of the gospel to those who are lost, God, that they too may come to know you, Lord God, in the pardons of their sin. So we pray mightily for the lost, God, that they might be saved, oh God, that they may come into the knowledge of the truth, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we continuously pray for our leaders, oh God, those whom you have put in positions, God. Help them to recognize, God, that you hold government in your hand, Lord, that you are in power, God. You hold this whole world, God, and you can put them up and you can bring them down, Lord God. We ask that you touch the heart of those, God, that are being oppositional, Lord, to the poor, God. Touch their heart, God. Minister to their heart. hearts, oh God, that they may have compassion, oh God, that they may see themselves, Lord, in that condition, Lord, and have compassion, Lord, on those who are less fortunate, God. Let us not close our hands and our fists, Lord, to those that are hurting all around us, Father God. Let us reach out with the love and the compassion that you have shown towards us. And now, Father God, we stand here, Lord. But we recognize, Father, that without you, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. So we ask that you take charge. You use my tongue, use my mind, use this body, God. Glorify yourself, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, we'll be careful always to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is in Jesus' precious and mighty name that we pray. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Here I am.
God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. Yes, we thank God for this day, and we thank him for this opportunity. We bless God for you, Pastor Dunkley. We bless God for all of you, and we continuously say Merry Christmas to you. We know that Jesus is the reason that we stand here today, and we thank him. There's a word from John, the third chapter, very familiar passage of scripture. Coming out John, the third chapter, 1-8, and then verse 16. We know that John was one of the original 12 apostles. He was the son of Zebedee. He was in that inner circle with Peter, James, and John that would be with Jesus. John was the one who often indirectly referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the one that Jesus entrusted his mother to. When you look at John 19, I think it's the 19th chapter of John, where he says, woman, behold thy son. And then he tells that disciple to hold thy mother. And so the Bible say after that he took her. And it's the 19th chapter, the 26th and the 27th verse. He took her with him and he cared for her. So this is the writer. John wrote this book and John wrote Revelations. And so beginning at that first verse, it said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, very verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's powerful all by itself, y'all. Yes, it's powerful all by itself. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that is which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he says to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus still was not really understanding, he say, marvel not, I say unto thee that ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, he gives this analogy, the wind bloweth, or this illustration, the wind bloweth where it will, or where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh, and whither it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God, it will stand forever. And if you're standing on the word, guess what? Ha, you have eternal life. Because the Bible say, in the beginning, what? In John 1, he says, in the beginning, what? Was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word, what? Became flesh, and it dwell among us. Hallelujah. When you look at the celebration that we're having today, and for a moment I want to talk about, have you been born again? That's the subject. Have you been born again? And somebody may be asking me that question. Well, why are you asking me that? Have I been born again? And you can get an attitude if you want, because somebody may be saying, I've been in this church a long time, been here over 60 years. You know what I'm saying? And you asking me such a dumb question. What, have you been born again? But I stop by to tell you, it's not how long you've been in the church, and it's not how long you've been in the position that you're in, but the question is, have you been born again? Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you been born from above? Have you been born of the Spirit? And when we look at this, if we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, and I just want to challenge you that if you really want to get joy and celebrate this holiday season, if you really want to have a Merry Christmas, if you really want to have the joy of Christmas, the peace of Christmas, the gift that won't wear out, the gift that won't get old, if you really want to celebrate Christmas, if you want Christmas to be every day in your life, I dare you give yourself to Him. Yeah, be born in Him. And somebody may say, well, I know I'm born again. Well, good then. That ought to motivate you to go out and reach out and touch somebody else's life that may not know Jesus in the Christ, in the pardons of their sin. That ought to motivate us, since we know. But the question is, Jesus, have you been born again? Yeah. So here we look at this passage of Scripture. And this passage of Scripture, it really falls off the backdrop where Jesus was now in Jerusalem, and they were celebrating the Passover, the Jewish Passover. And you know that was when the death angel went and delivered them out of Egypt, when the death angel passed over Egypt, striking the firstborn of every person in there. But where he saw the blood, the Bible says he passed over. And Israel was delivered. So they celebrate this. They are commemorating this day when they were delivered out of bondage. And this was something that was commanded of them to do. And so here now they're in the midst of the celebration. And Jesus has come for the celebration. But the Bible says that he went into the temple. And when he went into the temple, he found that they were desecrating his father's house. And the Bible says he made a whip, a cord, and he began to run them out of the temple. He ran out the money changers. He ran out the sheep, the oxen, and the doves. He ran them out and he overturned the table. Jesus caused chaos in the temple. And no doubt that was noise abroad. No doubt that was noise abroad. And so the Bible said the miracles that Jesus did in that city, many of them believed, but Jesus, he didn't trust none of them. And so now here in Nicodemus, some speculations have been speculated on why did Nicodemus come to Jesus. I don't know why Nicodemus chose night. I don't know why he came. Maybe he didn't want to be seen with Jesus. Maybe he didn't want to offend his fellow colleagues, maybe his councilmen. Maybe he didn't. I don't know why he came, but the first point you need to know that he came. And if you're going to be born again, you got to come to Jesus. That's the only way that you can be born again, is that you have to come to Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether it's morning, noon, or night. Right. Hallelujah. The important thing is that you come. So the Bible said Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he began to praise Jesus, giving a little praise. He says, Rabbi. And sometimes, you know, Rabbi in the Jewish custom can mean master. It could mean teacher. And he says, Rabbi. Look what he says. He says, Rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher. So he wasn't calling him his master. He was referring to Jesus as a teacher. You know what I'm saying? He says, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And you know, when I read that, I had a problem with that, because Nicodemus says, we know. And I'm saying to myself, well, Nicodemus, if you know, because the Pharisees was one that was oppositional to everything that Jesus did. And so I'm wondering if we know, and first of all, who is this we? All right. Yeah. And then if we know, what do we do with what we know? That's the next thing. So Nicodemus began to praise Jesus, and he said, we know. Look at that. We know. I guess he was representing a small group of his party. And he came to Jesus, check things out. And he says, we know that thou art a man that cometh from God. We know this, For nobody has ever done the kind of miracles that you did except God be with him. Yeah. And so we can know. We can know. But what do we do with what we know? That's the question. What do you do with what you know? Yeah. He knew. He says, we know these things. We have examined, we have seen the miracles, because it was Jewish custom. They associated, or they ascribed miracles with God's presence. That was their custom. But you have to be careful, because Jesus wanted him to get beyond looking at the signs and the wonders, Nicodemus, because it goes deeper. It goes further than that. You see what I'm saying? It goes further than just coming to church, y'all. It goes further. It goes further than just singing in the choir. It goes further than just standing here in this pulpit, Pastor. Right. It goes further, brothers, than just sitting on the deacon board. It goes further than just being on the deacon board. It goes further than that, than just standing at the door. It goes further than just being in the pews. It's further. It's deeper. Hallelujah. It's deeper than that. It's deeper. It's deeper, yeah. It's deeper than that. Look what Jesus said unto him. Jesus didn't even go. He didn't even, the flattery, that's all good and good. But Jesus got right to the point. And he tells Nicodemus, he says, very, verily, truly, truly, I'm saying unto you, Nicodemus, except, and he's not just saying that to Nicodemus. He's saying that to us. He says, truly, truly, verily, verily, this is the facts. And they won't change. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. All right. Hallelujah. Jesus came, y'all. You know, Jesus came. The baby was born. He came to this world so that you and I and whosoever could be born again. Yeah. If he had not come, right, where would we be today? Let's look at that. If Jesus had not come, where would we be today? But Jesus says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, not only, Nicodemus, are you not in it, but you won't even see it. And I'm saying to us today, except we be born again, we're not saved. We're not in God's kingdom. We're not in his presence. We don't have fellowship with him except we be born again. That's what he says to Nicodemus, and that's what Jesus is saying to somebody here today. Look what Nicodemus says to Jesus. He said, now how can this possibly be? How can a man be born again? How can he enter the second time into his, Nicodemus thinking on the physical side of things, the physical birth between the mother and the father, fleshly birth. But Jesus was talking about something deeper than that. And Nicodemus was a teacher. He was a ruler. He was an interpreter of the law. He had knowledge. He had authority. He had power. He had position. But he didn't have Jesus. He didn't have Jesus. He was not saved. And so look what Jesus told him. He says, look what he said, how can this be that you can enter the second time in your mother's womb and be born? Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I'm saying unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit. You got to be born of the water. Yes. And you have to be born of the spirit of God, because the water represents the transformation. The water represents the repentance. The water represents going in that watery grave and repenting of your sin. And he says, then being born of the Spirit of God is where the Holy Spirit comes in, and you are no longer in charge of your life, but the Holy Spirit is in charge now. And he begins to do the process of what we call regeneration. And what that means, if you take that little prefix, regene, that means that he's changing. He's transforming us. He's taking that old nature, and he's putting in that nature of God. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. what the old things are passed away, and what behold, all things become new. So Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water, you got to repent. Be baptized. And then the Spirit of God comes in and begins to do the transformation. He begins to recreate us. He begins to, like Arthur said, he'll make you over. Yeah, he'll put you on the potter's wheel and begin to make you over. And all of that that's marred, he'll begin to make us over in Jesus. Look, he says, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because you cannot go into the kingdom of God except you be born. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And flesh is an enemy to God. When you read about that in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1, 2. The Bible says that is born of flesh is flesh. But that is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, even if Nicodemus could have went back into his mother's womb and come back out, he still would have been born of flesh. But that is born of the spirit is born of God. And there's a transformation now. We're no longer seeking my will. I'm no longer seeking to do what I want to do. But now I'm seeking to please God, because the Holy Spirit has taken charge and control of my life. And Nicodemus still had a hard time understanding. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you still look like you're not quite there yet. He says, you marvel not that I'm saying unto you, you must be born again. And he gives him an illustration of the wind. And I want you to listen. He says, the wind bloweth. And we can look at this from our physical, we can look at that. The wind blows. And we said, you don't know, it blows wherever it wants. And you don't know where the wind is coming from. You don't know the origin of where that wind is coming from. But you can feel the effects of it. I can feel the wind on my cheeks. I can feel the wind when my hair was a little blowing in the wind. I can see it when it topples the trees and when it causes chaos. I can see the evidence of the wind. But it does what it wants to do. That's what he's saying. The wind does what it wants to do when it wants to do it. Because God is in control of the winds. We are not in control of the winds. I cannot speak to the winds and say, winds, blow over here. God is in control. So the wind does what it wants. And it says, so it is with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes in. We don't physically see it with our eyes. But God is saying there ought to be some evidence of his presence in your life. There ought to be some evidence that you've been born again. There ought to be some evidence. Because where there was hate, there ought to be love. Where there was selfishness, there ought to be selflessness. We ought to be seeking to please God and seeking to please help others. Where there was pride, now there is humility. Where there was envy, strife, and jealousy, now all of that stuff is dissipating, because the Holy Spirit is now ruling my life. And I'm seeking to please God. And so that's why Jesus says, you got to be born again. And I ask the question, have you been born again? Only you can answer that question. Yeah. Somebody say, well, you asking me that, have you? Well, that's what I want you to do. I want you to ask it. Then I get to thinking about that. Okay, yeah, I'll think about that. Yeah. You can get it after, well, have you? And then you can think about it. Think about whether God is ruling your life or whether you're still in the driver's seat. Think about whether he's on that throne, or whether you're still on the throne, or whether I'm still. I'll get to think about that. Yes. And so Nicodemus answers and said, how can these things be? But Jesus began to tell him. Jesus began to testify. He said, Nicodemus, I've explained earthly things. And then Nicodemus, what Jesus really said, Nicodemus, that you said you know.
All right.
You said we know. We know that you came from God, because nobody can do these miracles except you do. You're saying you know, but if you're not willing, what Jesus was really trying to say, if you're not willing to accept what you know, well, why how can you understand anything else? That you know to be true, and you're not willing to accept that. He says, how can I explain any earthly? If you don't want to accept this, how can I explain anything else? And I like verse 13. He says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Jesus tell him, he says, nobody been up there except for he that came down. And that's Jesus, Nicodemus Messiah, that he didn't want to acknowledge, that he was unwilling to accept. And he says, but Nicodemus, let me tell you this. And I'm so glad that Jesus came down, y'all. I'm so glad that he came down. Because like I say, if the baby wasn't born, if he had not come down, you and I wouldn't be here today. But I'm glad that he came down. I'm glad that he came down from heaven. I'm glad he told his father, prepare me a body, and I'll go down and redeem man. I'm glad that he did that. And the Bible says he came down through 42 generations.
All right.
And he was born of the Virgin Mary in a city called what? Bethlehem. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because they didn't have room for the king in the inn. Yeah. They didn't have room for him in the inn. And the Bible says he grew up in Nazareth. But I'm so glad that Jesus came down, y'all. I'm glad the baby was born.
All right.
And he was born. He came that you and I could be born again.
All right.
Have you been born again? Yes, he came down through 42 generations. He went around doing nothing but good. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind.
All right.
Yes, he did all of that. He did all of that. But then he went to the cross. And the Bible says he went to the cross. He died for your sins and my sins.
All right.
Oh, yeah, they stretched him wide and they hung him high. But I heard Jesus say it right here in this text as he was saying, as Moses was lifted up in the serpent. And everybody that looked at that serpent, when Moses lifted it up, the Bible say they was healed. And Jesus said, if you lift me up, look what he says, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, yeah, they took him down off the cross and they put him in the grave. He stayed there 3 days. But early, hallelujah, early, he got up. Didn't he get up? Didn't he get up? He got up with all power. All power in his hands. Yes, he did that for us, y'all. And so my question is, have you been born again? Have you made your peace with God? And if you haven't, you have the opportunity today. The doors of the church is open. We thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Glory. Hallelujah. We're celebrating today. We're celebrating. But I don't want today to be the last day for you that you call Christmas in your life. And the only way that you can have Christmas every day is that you have to come to Jesus. You have to give your life to him. The Bible says you have to be born again. And you can have the joy. And you can have the peace. Hallelujah.